Thank you for listening to the Grace Chapel Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by our senior pastor, Kurt Henn. For more information about our church, visit our website at gracechapel.cc or follow us on social media at Grace Chapel Ohio.
Our text this morning is Luke chapter 7, verses 29 through 50. Luke chapter 7, verses 29 through 50. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to kind of do some house cleaning. We're going to kind of finish up on some verses that we didn't quite get done before Easter. And then we're going to go into our main story or our main passage and talk about Jesus' encounter with a Pharisee and a sinful woman. And so Luke chapter 7, verse 29, if you would take a look with me. I'm always the last one there, so you should be there. Verse 29, this is Jesus speaking, and he says this: "When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John." That is, prior to these verses, John has been commending the ministry of John the Baptist. So that's the context of these verses here. Verse 29 again: "When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him." That is, listen, those who accepted John the Baptist's ministry accepted Jesus' ministry. And those who rejected John the Baptist's ministry, they rejected Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus has something to say to those that aren't pleased either by John's ministry or by his ministry. Take a look at verse 31. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.'" That is, Jesus is saying, you're like little kids who can't make up their mind. I mean, they just hop from one thing to the next. That is, he is saying, listen, if you have a heart for criticism, you will find something to criticize about. That is, if the message is unwelcome, then it doesn't matter what the messenger says or does, it will never be right. He continues in verse 33, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" And so listen, they would look at John's ministry and they would say, man, his ministry is like, it's like a funeral. I mean, he goes without, he fasts. I mean, the guy eats bugs. He wears camel skins. He's a weirdo. I mean, he must have a demon. And then they would look at Jesus' ministry and they would go to the complete other end and they would say, you know, his ministry is like a wedding feast. I mean, people are full of life. They're full of joy. They're having a great time. That is, listen, Jesus doesn't have a demon. He is a party hound. And so Jesus goes on to say this in verse 35. "Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." That is, ultimately, the wisdom of the Lord is not seen in intellectual arguments. It's not argued logically, not that it isn't intellectual or logical, but ultimately it is seen in the transformation of people's lives. That is, Jesus says, look at the children of God. They were hooked on pornography. They were strung out on drugs. They were bound up by materialism and selfishness. Their thinking was messed up. Their marriages were messed up. Their families were broken. But listen, they have been made new. They are different people. They are being perfected in Christ. And so wisdom is seen in changed lives. And so Jesus says, you know, let the Pharisees, you know, let all those people who are so smart and so enlightened, you know, argue about a million different issues and a thousand more. The irrefutable fact is that God changes lives. Well, after this, Jesus is invited over to a Pharisee's house for dinner, and that is where we enter into the main part of our text this morning. In verse 36, it begins, "One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.' And Jesus answering said to him, 'Simon, I have something to say to you.' And he answered, 'Say it, teacher.' A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Okay, so Simon invites Jesus over to his house for a meal, and they're reclined at the table. And so in the culture at this time, they had very low tables. And so what they would do is they would rest on their elbow, and then their legs and their feet would be reclined away from the table. And so they're having this meal together, and it's a casual meal. They're talking, they're fellowshipping with one another, and this unexpected guest arrives, and she is called a sinner. And so they're having this meal, and all of a sudden they hear this weeping and this crying, and this woman's tears are cascading down upon Jesus' feet, and she is washing his feet with her hair, and she is kissing his feet, and she is anointing his feet with this perfume, this very expensive oil, and she is just broken before Jesus. She is humbled before Jesus. And so listen, as Simon looks on to this whole scene, he just kind of thinks to himself, he doesn't say it out loud, he thinks to himself, you know what, this guy can't be a prophet. Because listen, if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. That is, the implication about this woman being a sinner is that her sins were public. That is, they were well known. So most likely she was a prostitute. Well, listen, Jesus knows what Simon's thinking. And so he says to Simon, listen, let me tell you a little story, Simon. And so Simon says, shoot. And so Jesus says, well, listen, there were two men that were in debt. Let's just say one was in debt $500,000. The other one was in debt $50,000. And so the creditor came and forgave both of their debts. And neither one of them could pay them back on their own, but the creditor forgave them both. And so Jesus asked Simon, Simon, which one of those guys do you think loved the creditor the most? And so Simon thought about it, and he replied, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the larger amount. And so Jesus said, bingo, you've answered right. And so then he goes on to explain to Simon what that story means. Take a look with me at verse 44, Jesus continues. Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And so Jesus says to Simon, "Simon, do you see? Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see the love that she has poured out? Do you see the fact that she has a large debt, that her sins are many? I have forgiven her debt. I have forgiven her sin." And so she understands that. She sees that she has been forgiven, and the love for me pours out of her. Did you see her response? She understands. She knows she has been forgiven much. So listen, she loves much. But Simon, you on the other hand, you don't see. You don't see your debt. And so listen, you invited me over to your house, but you know what? You didn't wash my feet. You didn't greet me into your home with a kiss. You didn't anoint my head with oil. You didn't do anything. I mean, you invited me into your table. I mean, perhaps out of curiosity, perhaps for me to entertain you for the afternoon. That is, Simon, you don't see, and so your love for me is little. Now, this is what we discover. That, listen, people who see their sin, people who know the depth of their debt, people who get the fact that they have been forgiven by a loving God, listen, they love Jesus big time. They are all about Jesus. Their life is about Jesus. It consumes them. They are compelled to know him and walk with him. Everything they do, their thinking, their behavior, their time, their talent, their treasure is about Jesus, because they know they have been forgiven much. Listen, they love hard. They love Jesus big time. But listen, we discover the opposite is true. That those that don't really think that much about forgiveness, they don't really comprehend their debt. That is, pretty much they look around and their judgment of things is they're a pretty good person. And really, when they look around at the church, they feel like they're better than most that are there. Perhaps they look around at our X-rated culture and they say, listen, I'm PG-13 at least. I'm okay. I'm good. They see little, they know little, and therefore, ultimately, they love Jesus little. their faith, their pursuit of Jesus is apathetic. Now, here's what Jesus is saying to those that are willing to hear. He is saying simply this: if you see your sin, you can be forgiven. Listen, no matter how little it is, no matter how great it is, he will wash your sin away. Listen, no matter how dark, no matter how wicked, no matter how vile, listen, no matter how many times you've done it, you know, perhaps nobody knows. Listen, God knows, and he loves you, and you can be forgiven. You can be set free. Listen, free from your shame, free from your guilt. You can have a clear conscience. You can be set free from the power of sin over your life, that power of habitual things that you do not want to do. God can set you free, not only wash away that sin, but set you free from its power over you. Jesus' blood on the cross has that kind of power. Jesus' blood on the cross washes me, it washes you from all your sin. Listen, not just some, all of your sin. Jesus said to this woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And so listen, that is what Jesus is saying to you. Put your faith in me. Put your trust in me and my work on the cross. And I will save you. I will forgive you. I will give you a new life. I came to give you life and life abundantly, and I will give you peace.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more sermons like this, visit us online at gracechapel.cc.